just arriving at SBC Park, nice ballpark we have here in San Francisco tonight. Wow, if I can just get through here, all the traffic. Cut off a cop, that's always great. Yeah, here we are at SBC Park. I'm just rolling in. There's so much traffic. It's the big game. It's a very big game tonight. The Giants are playing arch rivals, the Los Angeles Dodgers, the hated, the dreaded, the despised Dodgers. We hate the Dodgers. Anyway, I could care less about them actually, but we're not here to see the Dodgers. We're gonna get a little baseball ambiance, but we're here to see cash. Well, let me tell you about this place. This is Pacific Bell Park. Oh, it just became SBC Park a couple years ago. We're all nostalgic for the old corporate name. It's right on the bay. There's a marina on the left. People with scoreboards on my right. It's a great park. It actually has, it's brand new. It's only a few years old. It's got knot holes. You can stand outside and look at the game for free. Just like in the old days at Fenway and Wrigley Field and all the great, it's in the tradition of the great old baseball fields here. People are throwing balls back and forth in this little courtyard here outside the gate, as they always do. I can smell the garlic fries and the hot dogs and the peanuts. We're coming up on the big causeway here, the walk bikeway between the stadium and McCovey Cove, little cove of water that goes under the 3rd Street Bridge where all the boats hang out and wait to catch the homers when they get knocked out of the park by the likes of Barry Bonds. And I think Barry's still on the DL. Anyway, the person we're really here to see today is Cat. Oh, hear that? That's the sound of baseball there. Banging on the seats. Very civilized game. There's somebody out here in a kayak waiting for a ball to land in the water. He's got nets. So Cash is the guy that runs the bike parking here. There's an article in the paper about him last week. I actually recorded a whole podcast with him and it got erased. And if it hadn't gotten erased, I would have scooped the San Francisco Chronicle, because the Chronicle ran a big story about Cash here. Cash has just one name. He runs the San Francisco Bike Coalition's parking thing here. So he doesn't really know I'm coming. We told him I'd be by sometime. He's busy with some customers here. He does free bike parking. He's got his two daughters, Zoe and Iris. We'll meet them. Hi, Cash.
Hey, what's going on?
Are you up for take two?
Are you here for the game, or are you...
No, I'm here to like try and get take two on you.
Oh my God.
But you don't have to if you don't want to. I mean, you really don't.
Okay. All right. There's your claim check, and it's pay as you start. So.
Are those super fiery hot?
They turn your tongue green.
Oh, we like those.
Yeah, these ones turn your tongue green.
Okay, thank you.
The other turn it like purple or green.
Iris and Zoe are eating baseball food here. So Cash is a busy man right now. We're not going to bother him.
Oh, she just helped lace up. Tell him about the wheel.
Your tongue is green.
No.
First of all, how old are you?
I'm 11, not 12. I'm 7.
Okay. But old for your age. Did you ride down here?
Yeah.
All right, see?
Zoe's bike.
Zoe has, what do we call this, a mini bike?
What was it called?
It's a mini. It's a dirt, BMX dirt track racing bike.
But it just looks like a little mini bike.
Right. Yeah, the official designation is mini BMX.
She's got radial spokes in the front. Very cool. So what did you laced
what,
up, you laced up a wheel
pounds?
Yourself?
Huh? No, Iris, okay, tell about the wheel.
Okay, so
how did it get that way?
Zoe was riding on the front of my handlebars.
Oh, I saw there's a bent spoke there.
Oh, that's not the bike she was
riding.
Oh,
the other one.
And her foot got caught in the wheel.
And so,
is always bringing out the wheel.
She broke
the tire.
A bunch of my spokes.
Bummer.
And her foot got
only
cut.
Three and bent one.
Four.
I bent one.
Okay, well, you bent a couple of them. That's besides the point. Anyway, and so my dad taught me how to lace up the spokes and take out the old ones.
Is it true? Do you have a chewing stand at home?
No, we're going to work on that later. So we'll probably
chew
it.
But it's true enough to get home.
Well, no.
Actually, looking at it, I can actually see by with my eyes.
We're going to take it over to a shop and get it chewed.
Yeah.
It'll be easier that way. Once I get the stand, though, these kids are going to learn how to chew wheels. And then.
You can teach me while you're at it.
Yeah.
I always screw it up. I know it's not hard, but. Well, I never actually had a stand.
It's more of a thing that you have to be doing a lot of. You develop a feel for it, but if you leave for a while, you kind of lose the touch, and then you have to get back into it. So, it's good to be doing a lot of wheels.
So fun.
Getting off on the gyroscopic whatever there. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, bicycles and Dada together like that from the beginning.
Cool.
You're referring to the
the famous Picasso wheel. Yeah. You know, you did make a special fork to make it work right.
Duchamp, wasn't it?
Duchamp. Yeah. Yes. Picasso was the one with the steer's head made out of a saddle and a set of handlebars. Right.
Uh-huh.
You shove the handlebars through the saddle, and it makes horns.
Oh.
Yeah, I actually.
Okay, I'll have to check that out.
I actually didn't know that.
That sounds better than
Duchamp. And I made one into a costume. I was just fooling around, and I made one. I'm like, this is a great Halloween costume, and I wore it on my face. And I'm walking through the crowd, and this woman comes up and goes, "You stole that from Picasso!" Which was just so fun. Did you know there's a bus to Yosemite?
Excuse me? A bus to Yosemite?
I just got back from Yosemite. I took the bus from Merced and the train to the bus. It was awesome. And it was so easy. And then when you get to Yosemite and you're trying to get a campsite and you tell the ranger when they say vehicle ID number and license plate number, and you say to her,
"Zero.
We came on the bus. We think you should charge like $100 per vehicle." She smiles, she tears the form up, and she sent you to the special campground for people who came on the bus, and it's so nice.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay, I was wondering if you were going to sit on the Group W bench or...
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Well, the people who work in the park hate people who drive in. They just hate it. And since the bus is $10 and it includes park admission, and driving to the park costs $20 per vehicle. It kind of makes sense, especially since you think about that hour and a half on that windy road coming into the park.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be driving. You want to be sitting in the bus with the bus driver saying, "And the folks from San Francisco, if you look out this window, you'll see where the railroad used to run."
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, every year I try to, Alphonse the Bear from Farley, the comic strip in the Chronicle, every year on Bike to Work Day, he lives where he works. So he rides his bike around the block and comes back again for Bike to Work Day to show solidarity. And he was going to ride to the ballpark.
So Alphonse the Bear himself?
Alphonse the Bear, and it's over there. Get the other stapler out of the...
Sorry, this one lost its
stapler. Okay.
Cracking the whip.
So every year I try to convince Alphonse to use the bike parking, but somehow he never gets here.
He rides that little bike, doesn't he? I've seen him on that.
Yeah, a Russian service bike.
What'd you say? What does he ride?
He rides a Russian circus bike, yeah.
Oh, in case you're from out of town, this is the Alphonse the Bear is a cartoon character.
Then you don't have to worry about that.
Alphonse the Bear loves the Giants. And I assume he's here because he probably hates the Dodgers, right?
You know, he gives offerings to the... Okay, and we can take your helmet if you'd like.
Let me get my stuff off.
Hey, staples are for paper, not for ears. Stop that.
What?
What did I do?
I don't care. Now, where is the stuff? Give it back. Okay.
What?
Oh, this kid's driving you nuts, Cash.
They're quite useful when it's busy,
uh-huh.
But it's very hard for them to stay focused. Low-wage workers
right.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay,
so, they're more focused than my kids, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what it is they're doing. Like, it's one, very focused if, with an ice cream cone.
Yeah, one of those things is the responsibility that you give children, they rise to.
They kind of remind me of raccoons.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, so I think we've handled the rush.
Try that again.
Oh, man, you should have seen the traffic out there.
Yeah, I'll bet. But that's the thing.
And the BART traffic, too.
Yeah, this is San Francisco. I mean, I've lived in other places. And you really have to have an axe to grind to be a cyclist. Because, you know, really, it is easier to drive. The distances are longer. There's not that much congestion. No, no, no. What I was saying is I've lived in other places where...
I'm watching this.
Living in other places where it's legitimately, you have to have an axe to grind to be a cyclist because it really is easier,
places,
right?
Yes.
Although, you know, all that crap about the suburbs being made for cars.
That's right, you lived up in Runner Park, didn't you?
Yeah. And yes, if you're a pedestrian or you rely on mass transit, it sucks. It's hellish. Mm. But a bicyclist? It's a dream. It's not a problem at all.
Oh, but if you have kids, you really have to get a car, right?
Well, I don't know. I didn't. And I had a great time. It was interesting because when it rained, we had to go, I don't know, about 3 miles across town to get to the gymnastics studio for their Saturday gymnastics lessons. And it's a heavy rain. So I load them into the trailer, and we ride along through the rain, and there's a puddle. And I go, here comes the puddle. And they go, wee! And then we go through the puddle, and the water comes up into the trailer and then goes back down out of the trailer.
Remember this?
And we get there, and they get out, and they go, and they have their gymnastics lessons. And the other parents are talking to me like I've done something incredibly dangerous. And
oh, the wagging finger, yes.
Yeah, not the wagging finger. They were more awed. How could you, you know, you must be very brave to take your kids out in weather like this, blah, blah, blah. Until it occurred to me that these people didn't even know how to get across town without going up onto the freeway. So for them, it was dangerous.
Yeah.
They got up on the freeway and white-knuckled it at 60, scared of hydroplaning through the sheets of rain to get across town 3 miles.
In a metal box with nothing but a seatbelt, maybe an airbag that doesn't work.
And we had a very nice ride on quiet, empty little roads with the spring rain coming down.
You know,
you
flippy.
Know? Okay, one flippy.
To school in the morning because but, when we always pass my friends, and so like when they get stopped at a red light, we go past them,
and then they go past us, and we go past them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't you ever think like, why can't I drive in the car like all the other kids?
Wait.
Didn't you ever think, oh, why do we have to be different?
It's fun though.
Yeah, they understand that we've always been weirdos in this family.
Can I do the handstand?
Yeah, I'm wondering how my kids are going to be. They're still only 3 and 6.
Yeah.
They haven't decided yet. They haven't learned that we're weird yet.
San Francisco really doesn't have that conformity, you know, requirement of conformity.
Don't fall.
You really can be a total freak. Okay, ready? Hands up. Okay, there we go. Okay, ready? Drop down. Flip back. Hands down. And flip.
See, if the bicycle thing doesn't work, you could always join the Russian circus.
You know, I've been training them up for something like that, yes. But getting back to riding in San Francisco, in other places, it really is easy to ride. It really is easy to drive a car. When you get to San Francisco, door-to-door it takes longer. Mm-hmm. It's way more expensive, and it's hugely frustrating. So it's actually a practical decision not to drive. So activists in San Francisco tend to be a completely different breed. Mm-hmm. We have doctors and lawyers and captains of business and industry who have made a practical decision, and that practical decision is not to do something that causes them stress, which is driving.
Yeah, I have a hard time explaining that to people sometimes who haven't really made that jump because they think, oh, you're so brave and you're so in shape and what an athlete you must be.
We get back to the world that people see is the world they believe is all around.
Yeah.
The people who drive see a world that's dangerous because they're in a car.
Mm-hmm.
The cyclist isn't on the same road as the driver. He's on a completely different road even when it is the same physical road. He's seeing a completely different world. But generally, he's one road over on the quiet little side street having a really good time. The only time it's a problem is when...
Hey, you know what? But people don't read anything they sign. We could have them sign anything and they'd still
pretty
sign.
Pretty much, yeah. How many souls did we get today?
Zero, probably got... 2,000.
So Cash is going back and forth every time a new bike comes in. He goes into the other room. This is some afterthought of a room here that got turned into a bicycle parking here.
This used to be an office.
Yeah? Yeah, so I don't understand where all the cars are parking that are coming here, because it's backed up all the way to Market Street.
Yeah.
And there's no parking lot here. And there's just that one across the street.
That's going to be turned into a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, half this parking is going away as Mission Bay fills up.
Yeah, this was one of the first projects in San Francisco that was built. Big project that was going to bring in like 80... How many people sit in this theater?
There's 40,000 seats in the stadium. Interestingly enough, that's exactly the same number if you want. Go into the stadium, look around you, imagine every single seat full. Now imagine all those people dead. That's the number of people killed by automobiles in the U.S. every year.
Yep. It's about one Vietnam's War every year.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So, this stadium was actually very well designed. I mean, you know, everybody has to have their arms twisted. But the city and the Giants agreed to do traffic mitigation like you wouldn't believe. The Muni line that came down here came down here several years early because it was supposed to go all the way down 3rd Street. They opened this section early to coincide with opening day of the ballpark. And because they promoted the idea that driving would be too ballpark, would be hellish. We actually have more than half of the people coming to the ballpark coming by means other than the motor car.
Oh, I just came from the East Bay. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the big games of the year, the Dodgers. So the BART was filled. I really shouldn't have brought my bike on that BART, but I had to.
These Dodger games, the line for the ferry comes out to that bench right there.
Yeah, there's a ferry that comes right here to McCovey Cove. Yeah.
No, because everybody's coming from the East Bay, and they understand that there's other ways. You know.
Yeah, so this project, and then there was the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art.
Mm-hmm.
All around the same time, then there was the big Metreon Theater Complex, you know, with the... All that stuff was built without any parking, and they all came online the same summer.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, were people scared. The San Francisco Business Time wrote these articles about
when you actually say to someone, driving to this event will be hellish, they suddenly discover that the damn bus does go by their house.
Yeah.
It's amazing, because really what it comes down to is an awful lot of people have never been on this show. When I was living out by the beach, I was taking Muni back and forth. You know, I mean, Muni is so good, I'm actually losing customers to Muni in the ballpark. But
that's okay.
I mean, it's nice to see people having the experience. But the number of first-time transit riders was phenomenal. These are people who have never used mass transit before.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we don't charge.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
We actually pay people on fixies.
That's good.
let's not start that.
I'm a carrier on a fixie, man.
Let me get you to sign that, please.
Oh, that's
good. Thank you. Yeah, the whole fixed gear thing is just getting out of hand.
In a good way or a bad way?
Well, anything that gets popular enough to have me not want to do it anymore. I don't know, what can you say? You know, when I first started riding a fixed gear, there were like 3 people in the city. But the interesting thing is, there was an old guy, I was working at a bike magazine at the time, and there's the old guy, the art director. So I'm all proud of myself, and I'm riding a fixed gear, and he smiles. He says, yeah, they're nice. They go in and out. They were pretty big back in the 70s.
Were they?
Yeah. They come in and out because people use them, and then they get tired of it. And I'm thinking that's what's going to happen in a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it'll all go away again.
I love riding that thing. I had to learn how to ride all over again.
It is. It's very fun, it's beautiful, and it's a great second bike. If you think that's the only bike you're going to have, well, you probably either don't ride very much or you're going to be laid up sore every once in a while. And that's not a good thing.
Well, I ride it all the time. I ride it about...
But you have the option to ride something else.
What are we going to get me, clipless pedals?
I know, yeah. She's been bothering me to get her clipless pedals.
I want a basket!
I get Zoe a bike. An entry-level racing bike, more expensive than the one I ride. You know, you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh God, what did I do at the swap meet? I show it to her, and her first words are, "Daddy, where's the fenders and rack?"
How old were you when you started writing?
Two.
No, Iris took a while. Zoe started when she was three. Iris started when she was, what, five, right? No, earlier than that? Okay.
Yeah.
She remembers.
Zoe was quite early. Yeah. She started a lot
it's
earlier.
Because I had been riding.
Right. She saw her sister.
The second kid always does
things.
That's true.
The first kid teaches them how.
Hey there. I forgot I was going to bring my water bottle. 747 white one.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Okay. Sure.
Kind of thirsty.
Yes.
Yeah. You haven't missed anything yet. I only heard one cheer, and I think it was just people coming on the field.
My wife just told me that there was a four-run first inning.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. Thank you.
That must have been the cheer I heard.
Yeah.
What?
Four-run first inning? We don't know who got the runs.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
All right, any parting shots you want to make?
Not really.
Okay.
You drive, you're a butthead. And now war. Okay, done.
All right.
Watch this world.
Bye, everybody.
Well, thanks to Cash and his kids for taking us on that journey. Speaking of fixies, I've been catching a lot of hell for writing a fixie lately because it's considered to be trendy or something. Just ride the bike you like. If it makes you feel good, ride it. Don't worry about it, what other people think. So, looking at the news here. Excuse my crappy voice, I'm just getting over a cold. Missed critical mass the other night, so I can't tell you how San Francisco critical mass was, but I did get an email from my buddy Jim in New York. He says, last night CM had fewer cops and fewer arrests. Yay. One theory is that it was Fleet Week, and the NYPD was busy protecting the military. And they pulled some nasty stuff, he said, but overall, the night was a success. But lawsuits are still going on. They still need your money over there at Time's Up. Check the show notes for a email address or how to contribute, because they really do need your help. And one of the ways they're getting some help, right after the critical mass ride, Reverend Billy, check the show notes for his link also. Reverend Billy called all the bike. He had a big revival meeting benefit party. He's kind of like this blonde Elvis preacher, and he's from the Church of Stop Shopping. He's got a choir, the Church of Stop Shopping choir. He's like quite a... He's an old actor from San Francisco here, but he's living in New York now. Check out his website. He's got some crazy videos on it. Anyway, he called up all the people that were arrested in all the critical masses of the past few months and blessed them, and he laid hands on him, the good kind of touching, according to Jim, while the choir sang a song about bikes, and then he canonized everybody as saints in this Church of Stop Shopping. So that's great. What else is happening? Oh, of course, Reverend Billy, speaking of him, he's coming to San Francisco, and he's going to be doing a show. I'm not sure if it's a benefit or not, but for critical mass, but it will definitely contribute in that direction. He's doing a revival, Who Will Survive the Shopocalypse Tour in San Francisco, June 4th and 5th at 5 and 8 p.m. That's Friday and Saturday, June 4th and 5th, at the Victoria Theater in the Mission. So check that out. It's nice and cheap, $10 to get in. Should be really great. He's also doing a parking lot tour of Northern California, shopping center parking lots. excuse me. I'm still feeling like crap here. The Central Park Moonlight Ride in New York will be taking place Friday, June 3rd at 10 p.m. Nice nighttime ride. Life doesn't really get started in New York till after 10 p.m. They're meeting at Columbus Circle entrance to Central Park. The free ride to the first Saturday at the Brooklyn Museum. They have a free day at the Brooklyn Museum Saturday, June 4th. Union Square Park South at 6:45 p.m. or the Williamsburg Bridge on the Brooklyn side at 7 p.m. They have museums. You go to the museum at 7 p.m. in New York. Isn't that amazing? And they have the usual bike repair workshops every Tuesday at 6 p.m. at the Time's Up space at 49 East Houston between Mott and Mulberry. I announce that every week. What else is happening? Let me open up some websites here. World Environment Day is happening here in San Francisco. It's been going on since 1972 all over the world. It's, according to their website, World Environment Day was established by the United Nations General Assembly in 1972. World Environment Day is hosted every year by a different city and commemorated with an international exposition throughout the week of June 5th. The UN uses World International Day to stimulate awareness of the environment and enhance political attention and public action. So this will be the first time it's ever been held in the United States, and it's happening at the birthplace of the United Nations, San Francisco, or the birthplace of Critical Mass and the United Nations. What's happening at World Environment Day? Well, there's a lot of things. Oop, not that. Put that back away. Click, click, click. Oh, darn, I lost it. You'll have to bear with me, folks. We're going to go to the SF Bike website. Find them. SF Bike. Oh, how embarrassing. SFBike.org. Just take me a second here. We'll just have to click on their website. And hang in there. Chain of events. You can go there yourself also. The chain of events section of SFBike.org. Yes, okay. World Environment Day. The Bike Coalition is playing a big part in that. There's the, one of the things that's happening at the Scottish Rite Center in Oakland at 1547 Lakeside Drive in Oakland. The Green City Visions will cover, it's an all-day-long thing, will cover the best ideas and proposed responses for all sizes of cities and towns based on ecological principles and scientific assessments of what needs to be done in the face of peak oil, climate change, biodiversity collapse, health crisis, in order to rebuild our human habitat in balance with living systems. That's a lot of big words that basically says trying to figure out some easy way to live in harmony with the earth. Peak oil, yes, that's coming. We'll have to do something on peak oil, a whole episode about peak oil. Do you realize where most experts are beginning to think now that we are now at peak oil, and that from now on the oil is going to become less and less abundant and more expensive? Something to think about. Other things that are happening World Environment Day, there's going to be panel discussions, all sorts of stuff. I wanted to talk about the Green Cities Expo. Yes, that's happening. The event is the premier showcase for the World Environment Day, featuring green businesses committed to environmental sustainability and social responsibility. It takes place all weekend, June 3rd through 5th. They're going to have valet bike parking. Talk to Cash. Maybe you can meet him in person there. That's going to be happening. What else? Oh, Bike Summer. Just want to re-announce that. Bike Summer 2005 returns to California. Taking place in Los Angeles between June 3rd and July 4th. So it's kicking off pretty soon. So if you can't get down there, check it out on their website. You know, it's, if you're in California, go on down and check it out. It's going to be so great. I'm going down there. You can, if you can't make it, listen to Bikescape. We'll be having reports, probably several different reports from various different events. We'll go on an LA Critical Mass. We'll go visit the bike kitchen down there. Maybe we'll meet some people I don't even know yet. I got an email from somebody down in LA tonight. Lisa Ann. Hi, Lisa Ann. And maybe we'll meet her. And she's a knitter. She does great knitting. So maybe we'll see what kind of bicycle clothing she makes and whatnot. She's one of the knitters for Carrie. So a pretty interesting person down there. So anyway, Bike Summer 2005. I plan on going down there the last weekend of the event to catch. I want to see Time's Up is going to be down there visiting, and the last Critical Mass will ought to be a lot of fun. So, are we all out of things to talk about? Let me just check. Oh, one more thing: the San Francisco Ecological History Bike Tour. Local historian and director of Shaping San Francisco, Chris Carlson, will lead a 4-hour bicycle tour of San Francisco's ecological history. On bicycles, we will reconnect to the subterranean flows of water that percolate beneath us. I think there's a river going right under my house. We'll see where towering sand dunes once stood and learn about the first ever citizens' environmental movement that saved Telegraph Hill from quarrying. We will discuss the changing flora and fauna of the city and explore the concept of nature as it applies to San Francisco. Wild parrots make their home on what was once a deep garbage dump and is now one of the most beautiful gardens in the city. Today's shoreline obscures long history of making land, which includes a fascinating study of saving the bay from San Francisco's own garbage. That same garbage is in turn helping to save one of the last ecological treasures of the San Francisco Peninsula. So, that's the news and events. We got a talk with Cash. It's another podcast. We've done it. Thanks for joining me. Keep the rubber side down on the asphalt where it belongs. Take the lane. What other things can I tell you? Enjoy your week, and it's summertime. Get out there and ride. And let's see. We'll sign off with a song by Yves Montand. Some French music about bicycles. It's called La Bicyclette. Click, click. Bye-bye.
Quand on partait de bon matin, quand on partait sur les chemins à bicyclette, nous étions quelques bons copains. Il y avait Fernand, il y avait Firmin, il y avait Francis et Sébastien, et puis Paulette. On était tous amoureux d'elle, on se sentait pousser les ailes à bicyclette. Sur les petits chemins de terre, on a souvent vécu l'enfer. Pour ne pas mettre pied à terre devant Paulette, faut dire qu'elle y mettait du cœur. C'était la fille du facteur à bicyclette. Et depuis qu'elle avait 8 ans, elle avait fait en le suivant tous les chemins environnants à bicyclette. Quand on approchait la rivière, on déposait dans les fougères nos bicyclettes. Puis on se roulait dans les champs, faisant naître un bouquet changeant de sauterelles, de papillons et de rainettes. Quand soleil à l'horizon profilé sur tous les buissons nos silhouettes, on revenait fourbu content, le cœur un peu vague pourtant, de n'être pas seul un instant avec Paulette. Prendre furtivement sa main, oublier un peu les copains, la bicyclette. Je disais, c'est pour demain, j'oserai demain, quand on ira sur les chemins à bicyclette.